I try and work out a title for a talk when I've written it. And this one's called, Who Are We and Where Are We Going? And you probably gathered by now, I'm the kind of person that likes to know where I'm going in life. Because if you don't know where you're going, the chances are that even when you've got there, you don't realise you've arrived. Now that doesn't mean to say that the whole of my life is according to some pre-arranged plan, but I find that life is more successful if I'm focused and I have some direction, provided God's in it, that I know roughly what's supposed to be happening. And you know, human beings are made in the image of God, and I believe God is like that too, because if you read the Bible, it's pretty clear that there's a plan. There is a plan. Hope you're all starting to read the Bible, by the way. There are some more free Bible notes at the back if you'd like to pick some up. Now, when you read the Bible, you realize that God doesn't stumble from crisis to crisis, but that he has a plan too. He planned to create the universe and create the world. But he also knew that human beings would massively mess up. So he always knew he was going to come to earth in the person of Jesus Christ to save us. And he also knows that Jesus is coming back at the end of time. That's all in the plan. And I believe it helps us too to work out with God a plan for our lives. And specifically a plan for this church. So what's the plan for our church? Well, I hope all of us know the five key aims. That we become larger, younger, deeper, wider, stronger. That we become larger in numbers, younger in age profile, deeper in our relationship with God, stronger in our relationship with each other, and wider in the way we spread the love of Jesus. And Nick's account of what is happening through BSM is a wonderful example of that. And we, I hope, know our three key values. They're summed up on our little notice, on our little logo, which is at the top of the notice sheet: loving, learning, and serving together. But what is God's way for us to implement these specifically in 2014? Well, I tend to take a bit of a break after Christmas. As you know, if you were here last week, Anne and I have just spent a wonderful 10 days in the Alps. But I haven't forgotten you, and I've been thinking about our next year together. And I've also been reading a book, which really made me think. I'll tell you more about that in a moment. And I want to look at four questions. Why are we here? Who are we? What are we supposed to be doing? And how are we going to do it? Why are we here? Who are we? What are we supposed to be doing? And how are we going to do it? Why are we here? Why bother with church at all? Here we are, Sunday morning. Most of our friends are probably at home in bed reading the Sunday papers or, you know, why be involved in church? Come on, one or two people, tell me, why are you involved in church? Come on. Why are you here? Come on, folks, you're sitting here listening to me. I'm sorry? Fellowship, okay. It's good to meet with one another. That's great. I'm sorry? Praise and worship. Yes, to praise and worship God. It's a great thing to do. Yes. Anyone else? Giselle? Absolutely. We need encouragement to live a Christian life. All really good reasons to be involved in church. Well, over 300 years ago now, in 1646... in the middle of the English Civil War, a group of theologians got together and they put together a summary of the Christian faith, which is still a classic. It's called the Westminster Shorter Catechism. It's a series of questions and answers. And the first question and answer is the most famous of all. And I'm going to tell you the question, and I hope some of you will know the answer. What is the chief end of man? What's the chief end of man? To glorify God and enjoy him forever. That's right. To glorify God and enjoy him forever. And that's just as true today as it was in 1646. And it was just as true at the beginning of the Bible. And also as you go all the way through the Bible, you can see how God wanted human beings to have a relationship with him and experience his glory and his presence. But sometimes they mess up. Let me give you an example. The 17th of September, 592 BC. Now, you might know that particular date, but actually, it was the date when Ezekiel, who was a man who was in Babylon, hundreds of miles away from Jerusalem. He was in exile in Babylon. And he had a vision of what was happening in Jerusalem. And it's all in Ezekiel chapter 10, which is on page 836 of the Bibles, if you want to follow it. But he had a vision of what was happening in Jerusalem, and he had a vision of the temple. And in his vision, he saw the throne of God, a sapphire throne, surrounded by cherubim. They were heavenly creatures. He had this amazing vision of this throne over the temple. And let me read you what he wrote and what he saw. He says this: "Then I looked, and behold, in the expanse that was over the heads of the cherubim, something like a sapphire stone in appearance resembling a throne, which appeared above them. Then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherubim to the threshold of the temple, and the temple was filled with the cloud, and the court was filled with the brightness of the glory of the Lord." Which is great, isn't it? And then something really terrible happened. "Then the glory of the Lord departed from the threshold of the temple and stood over the cherubim." And then chapter 11, verse 14, it says this: "The word of the Lord came to me, 'Son of man,'" that's Ezekiel in this case, "'the people of Jerusalem have said of your fellow exiles and all the other Israelites, they're far away from the Lord. Therefore say this to them.'" This is what the sovereign Lord says: "'I'll gather you from the nations and bring you back from the countries where you have been scattered. And I will give you back the land of Israel again. I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. Then they will follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. They will be my people and I will be their God.'" So can you see? We're intended to worship God and enjoy him forever. We're intended to live in his presence and experience his glory day by day. But just like the disobedient people, because they were disobedient people in Jerusalem, God's glory can depart. Actually, the phrase used by the Lord in Ezekiel 11 verse 10 is this: "Then I'm going to depart. Then you'll know that I'm the Lord. Then you'll know that I'm the Lord." The sense is that people will know that God is Lord, either by what we're doing and what we do in following him, just like Nick was talking about with Beeson, or by seeing the disasters that befall us if we're not faithful to him, so that the Lord's presence will depart. That's a choice. That's the choice. Do we want to live in the glory of God and obey him, or follow the way of the rest of the world and please ourselves? Either way, God's going to be glorified. But the question is, do we want to live in his glory or not? And I hope that your answer and my answer, the answer of this church, is I'm here, we're here to glorify God and enjoy him forever, just like they decided in 1646. So when we meet together, we encounter the living God in power, in worship, the power of the Holy Spirit, in opening his word, and so on. So that's the answer to the first question. Why are we here? To experience and enjoy the presence of God and glorify him. Second question, who are we? Who are we? Well, that's the purpose of the sermon series we're starting today. Who am I? You all got one of these little flyers, I hope. You know, sometimes people get a bit mixed up about who they are. I was reading this week about a man called Henri Christo. Anybody heard of Henri Christo? He's a 66-year-old Brazilian man who spent 35 years preaching the word of God because he believes he's the reincarnation of Jesus Christ. And if you look at the pictures in the paper, I looked at them in the Daily Mail, so it must be true, there are pictures of this man who looks just like the kind of conventional Jesus. Okay, now look, obviously with Matt here, we've got our own visual example of what Jesus is supposed to look like, okay? But this guy really does look like, you know, he looks like the Turin Shroud come to life, okay? He's obviously completely bonkers, but he believes that he's Jesus reincarnated. He says, "I can be crazy, but not dumb. Madness is different from dementia. It is the mother of philosophers, prophets, and inventors." Well, there you go. The thing is, though, if we don't know who we are, if we don't know our identity, we are truly mixed up, like Henri Christo. By the way, he's changed his name, Henri, you know? Inri over the... Okay, so obviously completely nutty, but we can be truly mixed up. But if we know who we are, at least we have a good chance of living out our destiny, because we know where we're meant to be going. Which brings me to our verse of the year. In this church, we have a verse of the year. Anybody tell me, this is last year's verse of the year? Anybody tell me what it was? Fantastic, fantastic, brilliant. Well done, Tim. Luke 10:2. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. And I can tell you, the Lord has really answered that magnificently. You know, we ask for laborers. Well, just look at our teams. Look at our teams. I mean, who needs a vicar? I mean, look, the whole place is being decorated. I'm in the Alps, and it's all happening. Isn't that fantastic? But that happens. All of our teams are absolutely wonderful. You know, youth, breakfast at 9, hospitality, buildings, worship and teaching, pastoral care, mission, prayer and prophetic, communications. It's absolutely brilliant. I don't single anyone out, because everyone's been amazing, really. The Lord has really sent workers into his harvest field. What about this year's verse? Well, as you go out to church this morning, you're going to receive one of these. And in a single verse, it's an answer to who we are, and an answer to the next question: what are we supposed to be doing? 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. That's who we are. That's what I believe the Lord wants for us this year. To understand who we are, but not just for ourselves, but so that we may declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. Now, we have a big job to do. And there's no way we can possibly do it if we don't know who we are as Christians. And that's why we're going to start by looking at who we are in Christ. That's what this preaching program is about, and it's all about our identity. And over the next 4 or 5 weeks, we're going to look about how each one of us has been chosen and predestined. Why? For the praise of God's glory, says Paul. That we've been adopted by God's grace, that we've been chosen by God's purposes, that we've been guaranteed God's inheritance, and we've been filled with God's Holy Spirit. So, answered 3 of our 4 questions already. Why are we here? To glorify God and enjoy him forever. Who are we? A chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. What are we supposed to be doing to declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light? Okay, last question. How are we going to do it? How are we going to do it? Well, I was thinking and praying over the program towards the end of last year, and I felt the Lord point out something to me. What I want for you, I want for the whole of your church. That's all of us. What I want for you, I want for the whole of your church. In other words, I believe the Lord doesn't want people left behind. He wants us to grow together into maturity in love. But if we're going to flourish as Christian people, we need to be part of a balanced church. And a balanced church is a combination of in, up, and out. I don't know whether you've come across this before. I've probably explained it to you before. It's like a triangle. Here we are. I haven't got AV this morning, so you're going to have to use my hands, all right? It's a triangle, a perfectly balanced figure. There are 3 equal points of balance, okay? Up. The first one is up. We're focusing on our relationship with God and worshipping him. In. Focusing on our relationship with each other as members of God's family, and out, reaching out into the world, in, out, and up. Now, if those 3 aspects are not in balance, you get an unbalanced church. I used to be a member of a church which was excessively focused on up towards God and in towards each other, but not out. And that meant that we were rather inward looking and introspective. If you focus only on out, but not on the up or the in, you have lots of activity outside church, but there's no sense of building one another up as Christians or a sense of focusing on God. So in the end, what happens is that you run out of steam. So we need to be balanced. And I felt that as I prayed over this, I felt the Lord wanted us to focus on three particular themes. One is experiencing the presence of God. That's an up idea, isn't it? We want to experience the presence of God, both in our personal times, but also as we come together to worship. And then we want that. Then growing in Christ. We need to grow in Christ. That's up, but it's also in, because we grow in Christ together, don't we? And then finally, reaching out to the world. That's obviously the out bit. And these three aspects need to be reflected in our teaching, our fellowship together, and our outreach. So let's have a look at the teaching program for the year first. And as I put this together, I've tried to focus on a balance between in, out, and up. So first, as you've heard, we're going to look at our identity in Christ, which is kind of up to God mainly. And then the next thing we're going to do is we're going to look at the Bible. Because if we're going to be able to relate to God, each other, and the world around us, it's absolutely key that we're able to find our way around the Bible. Now, for a lot of people, the Bible's still a tricky book, and we need some direction. So from the middle of March or so, we're going to spend 6 weeks looking at the Bible. It's going to be a bit of a kind of, you know, zoom through the Bible, really. We're not going to read the whole Bible, obviously, but we're going to look at different types of books in the Bible. It's going to be called How to Read the Bible for All It Is Worth. And each week, 1 week, we're going to look at the history in the Bible, then the law, then poetry, because lots of the Bible is poetry, then the Gospels, then Acts and the Epistles, and then finally prophecy. So that instead of whole chunks of the Bible being a closed book, we'll start to feel we know our way around a little bit. And then because we want to experience the presence of God, after Easter, leading up to Pentecost, we're going to spend a bit of time teaching on how we encounter the presence of God in worship. And Matt and I are going to do some work together on that for you. And then we need to look at Jesus. We need to keep focusing on Jesus, don't we? So we're going to spend some time looking at the character of Jesus, especially in John's Gospel, the I Am sayings. And then it's kind of summer, so we thought we'd have a look at the Old Testament a bit. And we are going to look at some episodes of the life of King David, because there's a lot to learn. The New Testament says we can learn a lot about life from the Old Testament. They're a lesson and a warning to us. So David had a lot of good things in his life, so we're going to be looking at those. And there's a lot of bad things as well, and we'll have a look at one or two of those as well. A few bad things, anyhow. And then finally, the plan is we'll spend some time looking at Christian character to pick up some of the themes that Ted talked about in his excellent talk on Romans 12 on the 15th of December. Now, the aim of all this, it's not just knowledge for knowledge's sake, but to help address issues in our Christian lives which we find tricky or difficult. But now this is set in stone. I've got it kind of roughed out on my computer at home, and I've shared it with the leadership team and so on, and the preachers. But if you find that you want us to tackle something which you find tricky or challenging, it might be a social or a personal issue, which is relevant to you as a Christian for the 90% plus time that you of your week that you don't spend sitting here in church, which is most of the time, please let me know, and we'll aim to address it sometime this year. Now, while we're looking at app issues, we need to continue to meet to worship God and listen to His Holy Spirit. So we're going to be continuing to meet at 6:30 on the first Sunday of the month, and also for Perfect Evening Praise on the fourth Sunday of the month. But as you've heard, on the third Sunday of the month, we're gonna start to go to the Lighthouse in Sanford, just to receive, really. It's a fantastic celebration, worship celebration time, and please join us. That will be absolutely great. Also, one thing that has been remarkable this year, or last year rather, has been how prayer has increased in this church. This has always been a really praying church, but it's been quite remarkable how there's been a massive increase in the amount of prayer that's been going on. This church, you know, gets together to pray at least 8 times a week. 8 times a week. Okay. which is extraordinary. Okay, and also we have got a prophetic prayer group, which meets once a month on a morning, usually Tuesday, Wednesday or Thursday morning. Why not think about joining that? And also, I'd really encourage you, and I'm going to be going this summer to New Wine again. New Wine is amazing. If you've never been, go and talk to some others who've been there. Go and talk to me. Go and talk to Brian and Sheila, maybe. Go and get a caravan or a B&B if you don't fancy camping. Just come and give it a go for a few days. Or maybe if you want something smaller with permanent accommodation, how about Revive? But do think about going to a conference over the summer, just for inspiration. It's a wonderfully inspiring thing to do. Now, I've mentioned lots of in and out, in and up subjects, but what about outs? In other words, how do we relate to the world outside the church? Well, the first is that we've got a really great mission focus in this church. We're going to continue with mission of the month, and also with mission speakers at least once a quarter. The next person who's coming is John Stones from the Barnabas Fund. He's coming on the 9th of March. And also, we are going to continue to support our partner church in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. There's a strong possibility that a number of us might go out to the Congo later on this year to meet Fernand, who's the pastor there in Lubumbashi. Still got to iron that out, but that's a possibility. But also, as a church, we need to be reaching out to our own community. Now, over the break, I read this book. As you can see, those of you near the front can see who that is. It's about, it's about Justin Welby, Archbishop Justin Welby, the Archbishop of Canterbury. Now, what's remarkable about this man is he's a man who was born to a background of immense privilege, you know, related to the aristocracy, Eton and Cambridge, you know, the usual business. But while at university, he had an identifiable conversion experience, which not a lot of Archbishop of Canterbury's do, but he did. And in fact, it was in October 1975, as it happens, 1 month before I was converted, actually. And he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then, by the 1980s, he found himself earning a six-figure salary, which is a lot of money, by anybody's money. But, you know, but in the mid-1980s, a six-figure salary was an awful lot of money. But he turned his back on all of that for ordination training. And after all that, he's still a Bible-believing Christian. That's a bit of a bonus, isn't it? He was asked when he was, just before he was made Archbishop of Canterbury, he said, "I can recite the creed without crossing my fingers at any point." And asked if he believed that Jesus was physically resurrected, he said without any hint of doubt, "Yes." Which is good, isn't it? Now, he's passionately committed to spreading the gospel, and also to a ministry of reconciliation. He knows what it's like to be in dangerous parts of the world. There are times when he's been threatened, when there's been a price on his head. He's been out in Iraq and Nigeria. But this is what he said to a vision day an Alpha Vision Day in Sheffield in March 2012. "We are facing in this country the greatest opportunity that God has given us since the Second World War. Every single idol, everything on which human beings in our society have relied on since 1945 has fallen. As those idols fall, all that is left on the horizon to look at is an empty cross and an empty tomb. We've had government to rely on, but they've run out of money. We've relied on materialism. It's betrayed us as all idols do. They cannot serve us. They cannot save us. God has opened up before the church a moment when no one else can do anything. It is a moment of unique opportunity, and the challenge that the Spirit is saying to the church today is, will you take this moment and reverse the decline that we have seen for the last 70 or 80 years? You have two tasks, to worship Christ and to reconvert this country to Christian faith and transform its society." Back to our verse of the year again. You're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. That we may all have a wonderful time enjoying one another's company until we go to glory? Nope. What does St. Peter say? "That you may declare the praises of him who's called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." So, how are we going to do this year? Well, first of all, we're going to carry on doing what we've been doing, carry on with breakfast at 9, bringing people, especially younger people who might never go near a church. At the other end of the age range, tea at 4, which is an amazing success story. It's been growing month by month. Continuing with coffee pot, with toddlers. I had a wonderful conversation with a lady at breakfast at 9 this morning. She said, do you know the toddler group in this church is the best toddler group in town? Not because the facilities are the best, but because the people who run it are the best people. Isn't that fantastic? Absolutely fantastic. Okay. Other forms of outreach. Matt and his team are doing wonderful stuff with the young people. That's growing. It's really growing and bedding in well. But as a church, we all need to be more outward looking. Now the trouble is that outreach can be really scary. So this is the plan. Okay. First of all, we're going to be running a course on relational evangelism once a month for 4 weeks starting at the end of February. Okay. How do I speak to my friends about Jesus? Without embarrassing them or embarrassing me. You know, how can I make fruitful relationships with non-church people? Well, come along. Please come along. Next, on the 15th and 16th of February, we've got a great opportunity to learn from a couple of experts how to become a church at the heart of the community. You all given one of these as you came in, hopefully, or got one of these. Look, if we're serious about bringing the gospel to our community, this is an opportunity to come to a free training day. It's the Nicholas Church in Corfmullen. It's got Marty Woods, who's a friend of Annie and Graham, who ran the Sunday afternoon festival at Connect last year, and also with Lucy Moore, who leads Messy Church nationally. And the reason we need to be there is because, well, a couple of reasons. The first thing is there's something called Hope 2014 happening in 2014. Now, Annie and Graham, we're going to be saying goodbye to Annie and Graham soon, but Annie and Graham are leading Hope 2014 in the whole of this area. Dorset, is that right? Whole of Dorset, yeah. And they're going to be putting on events, community events, to introduce the gospel of Jesus Christ to our community, all right? So we'll be seeing some more of them, and in particular, on the 16th of February, Annie and Marty Woods are going to be coming along here to All Saints to energize us and excite us. And we need to be inspired because the plan is that we're going to have 4 or 5 events throughout the year to try to reach out to our community. And you need to come along to the training and to come along on the 16th of February to find out what we're doing. Now, what are we doing? The first is going to be on Palm Sunday weekend, which is the 12th of April. And this is going to be Saturday. It's going to be an opportunity for us to, as a group of people, to bless our neighbours. Just in practical ways, car washing, coffee, gardening, shopping, maybe even fix their computers. We'll circularise everybody, knock on some doors, encourage people in, okay? Just to reach out. Now, you might think, what's the point? My church used to do this on a regular basis. My last church used to do this on a regular basis. Let me give you an example. A couple called Angie and Mark. Now, Angie and Mark were a Christian couple. Their marriage fell apart. And they were going nowhere. And we were doing this one day, and Angie had nothing to do with church, and she came up, and we said, would you like your car washed? So we washed her car, you see. As a result of that, she kind of drifted slowly back to church. She gave her life to the Lord again. And then she made a connection with Mark, who she'd been estranged from for years. And Mark came back to church. So this couple, who were married and now divorced, were both going to church. So you can imagine what happened. They got married again. Isn't that wonderful? They remarried to the delight of their children, of course. Their parents are now remarried again. And now Angie, actually, she's now a church warden and in the Lantern Church, my old church. She's leading a home group, and the whole family's going on with God, which is wonderful. A life transformed because of a car wash. And that's what happens when we start to reach out to people. So that's what we're going to do, all right? We're going to start on the 12th of April, Saturday the 12th of April, and then on Pentecost weekend, which is the 7th of June, I'm planning that we do what we were hoping to do last year, but I'm planning that we should have a community fun day out there. Okay? A bit like the fete we had for the Christian Centre. It's really key we catch the vision for this. Really key. Okay? Because a church which reaches out to the community will grow, and a church which does not reach out to the community will die. Also got some other events planned over the summer, and then some open-air things, and then we've got the Harvest Supper coming up in October, and the plan is that we'll have a speaker at the Harvest Supper. Now, this is not going to be some heavy evangelism, but just some really lovely food, which we're really good at doing, and then an engaging, really interesting speaker with a little gospel twist at the end. The sort of thing we can invite non-church people to, and it will be really great to do that. And finally, we're planning another open-air carol service for the whole town in Station Road on the 6th of December. Now this year, as I'm sure you know, is the 100th anniversary of the start of World War I. And what Hope 2014 want us to do is to have silent night carol services leading up to Christmas to commemorate the time in 1914 when the troops on both sides of the lines sang Silent Night. So that's the plan. But of course, for these things to be effective, what Annie will tell you and Marty will tell you is we have to have things to invite people to after each event. So we're looking at doing another Alpha later on in the year. I'm also going to be piloting a one-to-one, a one-to-two course for acquiring Christians called Taking a Look. And also some of us are going to go out later in the summer just to knock on a few doors and visit our neighbours and ask them if they would like prayer. Now, you know, it's amazing how many people are open to an offer of prayer. They're really open to it. Now, how did you feel when I ran through all those possibilities? Let's try a range of responses. Some people maybe thought, this sounds fantastic. Let's get stuck in straight away. Okay, maybe some other thoughts. I'm really nervous about all this. You know, I'm a quiet kind of Christian. This isn't really me. I just come to church. Well, actually, God does need quiet kind of Christians as well, who quietly pray for people, who quietly invite them along, who make church happen so that others may go out. But let me say, there is a difference between being quiet and comatose. All right? And we want quiet, prayerful, faithful people, not corpses, all right? Okay? There needs to be life here. So however quiet you are, if you're in God's kingdom, he's put you here to fulfill your God-given calling. That's what the Shape course was about, if you remember that, about 18 months ago. And if you don't know how you fit in with all this, ask God to show you. Maybe you love to do lots of these things, but you think, well, I don't know how to do this. Well, there's going to be lots of training available. You won't lack for training. Trust me, you will not lack for training this year. Okay? And something else maybe. Maybe as I talked about what we're planning, you felt exhausted. Exhausted. I just don't have your energy, Andrew. I've got too much on. My family are my priority now. Actually, I don't really have time for anything except for church once or twice a month. If that's you, then I'd really urge you to think again. What did Justin Welby say? We're facing in this country the greatest opportunity that God has given us since the Second World War. Now, that's not just for a few people. It's not just for young people facing an uncertain future with mounting debts. It's also for older people too, wondering how to cope with declining health and far from their families. It's for single mums or single parents struggling to bring up children alone. It's for couples who are finding it hard to make a go of things after many years of marriage. Every one of us knows people in our age group who desperately need to know about Jesus. Are we going to say to them, I'm too quiet, I'm too busy, I'm too tired? What does Peter say? You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Let's pray.